Last time we gave an introduction to the theme of, number one, what the ideas are of the Birkas Kriya Shema, the three paragraphs of Shema, and then the embellishment of the Birkas Kriya Shema, why Chazal did this, why they set this up is the prelude, Smichas Gula L'Tfila, is the immediate juxtaposition to the experience of Tfila. What we need to do today, and we'll see, we may not finish today, that is to analyze the text itself. So we're going to review. The first theme we said was the idea of Shema, Hashem, which is Hayahovah V'yiyah, meaning that God is the source of all existence. He predates history. He was, he is in the present, he will be, in others, but he's the source of all existence. Okay? Elokeinu, he is what? He is the master of the universe. He runs this universe. Not just that he created it, but that he runs it. Hashem is Echad, is unique and distinct. Unlike, for instance, a human being who has parts, you know, we think that we're going to do something and then we act upon it, right? There's the thought and then the action. God is a complete unity. There are no components to God in whatsoever. And God is unique. He's unique and distinct from anything. We who are physical, we think in physical terms. God is unique and distinct. He's unique and distinct even from non-physical creations. Okay. That's a universal principle, though. That's something that's the basis of existence for every human being. You know, to know that we are sustained, you know, is a function of God's will, that we are created is a function of God's will. All of that is universal. So how did Chazal develop this? What they did was they showed through the two types of creations, what we'll call the physical universe and the metaphysical universe. The physical universe is the cosmos as we know it. Let's take a look at the first of the Birkas Kriya Shema. It says like this, Yotzer or Vrei Choshech. Right, there's always, historically, there's always this battle between the forces of night and the forces of day. You know, when the sun has shlita, when it has dominance, when the sun doesn't. We never had that issue. We always said there's one physical universe, there's a unity and a synthesis to that physical universe. And that's why not only in the bracha in the morning, in the bracha in the evening as well, we show that there's one creator and there's one system to the physical universe. Science has made that quite obvious to us. All a function of what? Of how the earth rotates around the sun. When we're on the part of the earth that faces the sun, as the earth rotates around its axis, so we're exposed to the sun. When we're on the part of the earth as it rotates around its axis that's on the backside, so we're not exposed to the sun. We see it, we see the moon, we see the stars, but we don't get the light of the sun. It's complete unity, complete synthesis. There are laws of physics. Okay. Right? God enlightens not only the earth, but those who dwell on it. If we were much closer to the sun, we couldn't exist. If we were further away from the sun, we couldn't exist. The great chokhmah, the more we study science, and I want to make this very clear. When you look at the Rambam, and the Rambam says this in the second parak of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, in the third parak of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and you see it in the fourth parak of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that you fulfill the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, you come to know God, right? V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, through the study of science. You see, the more you delve into biology, to chemistry, physics, you see the great depth and the great wisdom that was put into the microorganism and to the universe as a macroorganism. And you have a great appreciation for the Almighty. What King David talks about in Kapitel Kuf Dalet, Baruch Inafshi, what he speaks about in the Kapitlach that we say in Psukei Dezimra, you see it. And that's part of the theme of this paragraph. How does one ultimately come to know God, to relate to God, to that God who is our sustainer, our creator, who is unique, who is distinct? Through the study of the physical universe. And that's what's talked about in this bracha. That's the idea of Hashem. God didn't just, it wasn't a one-time act creation. We wouldn't exist if God would not sustain us. If God would not will that we should be sustained, the universe sustained, b'chol yom. He's mechadesh b'chol yom, each and every day. Tamid, consistent, not just each and every day, each and every millisecond. Then there would mean the universe would not exist on its own. Ma rabu masecha, how great and how are the actions of God? Kulam b'chach masisa, with great wisdom did you engage in them? Did you create this universe? Mala aretz kinyanecha, and we acknowledge that what? We are God's we don't have autonomy. We belong to God. He created us. He sustains us. He has ba'alut. He has ownership over us. And that's a function of leading a life of responsibility. It's not about me. It's not about my narcissism and my needs. It's about what? The fact is, if God created me, sustains me, owns me, so by definition, juridically, there are conditions upon my existence. We always talk about what? Kel Baruch Gedol Dea, the great, great wisdom. Hechin Ufal, that he prepared and set up Zaharei Chama. Tamid Misaprim Kavod Kel Udushaso. And the fact that the creations, that which was created, that they are consistent, that they don't violate from their function. There's a great wisdom, and that is the ultimate praise of God. That what? That beings that run according to such a sophisticated system, and that the tasks that, whether it's the sun, whether it's the moon, whether it's the earth, whether it's the different phenomena in the weather system, they don't violate, that they are consistently, there's a wisdom and a consistency in terms of how they fulfill their role. And if they wouldn't fulfill their role, the earth, the universe couldn't exist. Humanity couldn't exist. Shows that's the ultimate praise of God. Shows a great wisdom. Well, we as human beings, we're fickle. You know, so you can count on us sometimes, sometimes you can't. Sometimes we fulfill our objective, sometimes we violate our objective. You don't see that with these creations. And that in itself is a great praise of the Almighty, and it shows you the great wisdom and depth in the creation of these bodies and the creation of the universe. But then it goes into a second stage. Not the physical universe, but the metaphysical universe, what we call the malachim. Malach literally means the messenger, the agent of the Almighty. What are the malachim? The malachim, so when it comes to the laws of medicine, we have a term, refoil. Refoil is a system of how God runs this universe with the laws of medicine. Gravity is an angel. It's one of the malachim of the physical universe. Right? It's the system of how God runs this universe. And what happens? What does it mean that they praise God? Kulam giburim, kulam osim. First of all of them fulfill the will of God. Again, they don't violate their creator. But what do? They're mevarachim, mishabachim, mefarim, ma'aritzim, magdishim, mamlichim. The fact that they consistently, all the time, continuously, fulfill the will of the Creator, that is the ultimate praise. And we reflect that. So there are two things happening. One is we're seeing what God did, what He's created, and we're seeing ourselves in the context of that greater universe. And we're seeing the great wisdom of God in the consistency in it. And it's the ultimate praise of the Almighty. Now, we're going to talk about Kedusha. I'm not going into Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kavod at this point. I'm not, because we're going to speak about it when we deal with the Amida. But those are the two ways in which God runs the universe. One is referred to as immanence, Milo Chol Haaretz Kavodo. What does it mean? Hashem Tzvakos. We'll talk about those terms, Milo Chol Haaretz Kavodo. And the other is transcendence, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkomo. We're going to spend time on that. I'm just not dealing with that here. For purposes of this bracha, what we're going to deal with is what? To summarize it as the summary of any elongated bracha is always the encapsulation known as, in halacha, as the chatima. Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMe'oros. The one who formed, you know, Bore means the initial energy of the Big Bang that God created, and then Yotzer is the transformation of that energy, the manifestation of that energy into different, you know, physical manifestations of it, and is everything ultimately was created by God, is sustained by God, and that's us relating to the God as a member of the physical universe. Second paragraph is very different. Second paragraph is speaking as a Jew, not as generically someone who was created, someone who was one of God's creations. But now I'm speaking as a Jew. Because think about the second paragraph in the Shema. talks about the special covenant and the special commitment and responsibility we have. And as a consequence of that covenant, where we play the role of transforming the destiny of humanity through the system of perfected ethical monotheism. You know, that perfected ethical monotheism doesn't just mean, you know, 613 mitzvahs versus 7 mitzvahs. It doesn't just mean, you know, that we have in every area of morality, of ethics, in every area of theology and philosophy, we have greater responsibilities and commitments. But there's a purpose in that. But creating this society, we call it the Jewish community, by creating this society then is responsible for the transformation and for the elevation and the perfection of the destiny of the rest of humanity. You know, the descendants of Abraham are responsible. We're the guarantors, the partners with the Almighty, that ultimately all of humanity attains a level of perfection. And what is the nature? There's part of that covenant, what we call the bris of Sinai, the bris of Torah, the covenant of the Torah, that we're under a specific providential relationship. And that specific providential relationship has significant consequences. When we violate the covenant, it has negative consequences. When we lead a life of perfection and when we lead a life in line with the covenant, it has positive consequences. That's what's discussed in that paragraph. But look at the bracha, how Chazal took this and turned this into a tefillah. Ava Rabba Avtanu Hashem Elokeinu, Chem L'Gadol V'Serach Hamalta. The greatest act of love, right? The greatest gift that God bestowed upon us was this system. Avinu Avarachman Hamrachim Rachem Aleinu V'Sein B'Libeinu. We ask for continuous act of Rachmanis. We don't claim we deserved it. We didn't deserve it. But God gave us this system. And continue to have compassion upon us and give in our minds. B'Libeinu means, it doesn't mean the heart here, it means the intellect. L'Havinu L'Haskil. To understand the system. The Judaism is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not a bunch of monopoly rules. It's axioms, it's postulates, it's principles, and to understand them. Why do we say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? Because it's about the principles and the values and the concepts. Lishmoel, first of all, to hear them. Lilmodu Lamed, to learn it so we know it ourselves. Lilamed, anything that's precious, you have a responsibility to give over to others. And that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to transmit these values. If this is God's greatest gift, it's something you, by definition, are going to want to transmit to students. Vishinantam levanecha, right? It's to our students, not to our children alone, but to the next generation. We transmit that over. Lishmor, to protect the system, right? It's not, before we get to observing the system, it's to understand the system and what the system wants of us and what the values are and what the principles are and what, how it's supposed to shape our personality, how it's supposed to shape, so to speak, our Weltanschauung, how we look at the world. That's the Shmira. And sometimes, in order that these values and principles are sustained, sometimes we put a fence around the Torah. These are the various gezeros of Chazal. And sometimes we put a personal fence around it in order that these principles be kept and be guarded. Lasos, in order to observe them. Because sometimes it's lishmor. It's about what? It's about refraining from certain activities, refraining from certain violations of the instinct, violations of impropriety vis-a-vis another human being, violations of impropriety vis-a-vis God. Sometimes those are the sins of commission, where you end up violating something you're not supposed to do. And then there's what? Lasos. That's where we fulfill a mitzvah, where the observance is not done through setting up boundaries. The observance is through observing and engaging and acting. Ulakayim is called divrei samut torasecha. What does it mean to fulfill all the words of your Torah? Because certain of them we can fulfill in practice. Others we fulfill through the study and the understanding of the values. Certain of them we can fulfill because we live in the diaspora. Others we cannot, you know, would require living in Israel. Certain we can fulfill, you know, when the Jewish people are in a position where they can do it, others not. But the idea is to learn to understand these principles, these values. It's the greatest gift that God gave us. It's the gift that transforms us. It's the gift that gives us our lifeblood, that gives us a way of looking at the world and relating to the world. Enlighten us, enlighten our intellect. That should be our passion. We should want to cleave to these mitzvot. You know, not just doing them in a stale, apathetic way, but it gives us meaning and substance and a reason to live. Ultimately, unite us as a people that we will always want to come to love you, meaning come to know more about you, and to have a sense of reverence. That's the dialectic the Rambam speaks about. Because the closer you get, the more you know about God, the more awestruck you are, the greater the sense of reverence you have. And it's this dialectic between, on the one hand, coming closer, and on the other hand, ratzov v'shov, recoiling, retracting, and having a sense of propriety and boundary. V'lo nevosh l'olam v'ed, that we should not be embarrassed, we should not be humiliated in this lifestyle. Because it sets us apart, it makes us unique, it makes us distinct, and that creates animosity, that creates jealousy. So lo nevosh in doing that. Ki v'shem kodshecha gadol v'hanora. The name of God is always alluding to the knowledge of God, in your unique, distinct knowledge of your unique, distinct name, meaning God is unique and distinct. It is gadol. On the one hand, it's something which is great, which is imminent. It's Nora. There's a certain reverence. We step back. Nagila v'nismecha b'shuasecha. We will rejoice in your salvation. V'avienu l'shalom me'arba k'nfosa aretz. Please enable us, because ultimately, as you see from the Torah system, ultimately it's meant to be observed, not in a vacuum, not in isolation, but as a society. Much of the Torah speaks not only to the individual, it speaks to the community. So God should gather us from the four parts of the earth, and bring us together to his land, where we can, it's the seat of the Jewish people, it's the seat that will ultimately be the springboard for the transformation of humanity. Ki mitzion teitzei tzara udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Bring us to that land, and enable us as a society to function there. The care of Tano l'shimcha ha-gadol, bring us close to, we should ultimately come close to you. How do you come close to God? The more you know of God, the more you know of what he wants of you, the more you understand the Torah, you know, the more enlightened you are, the more thoughtful you are, the more sensitive you are. Baruch Ata Hashem HaBocher BeAmo Yisrael BeAhava. What was the greatest gift? What was the greatest thing that God did? He chose us to be the ones who would observe this covenant. Chose us, he gave us a mission, a responsibility, not because we're better. He gave us a mission, a responsibility. He designated us for this purpose. And it's a huge, huge burden, but it's not a burden. It's something we cherish. It's something that's an honor. It's something that's an opportunity. It's something that transforms, that enlightens. And that's what we speak about in this bracha. And we ask God to enable us to be worthy partners. We ask him to help us to appreciate the gift that he has given us. That's the second bracha. What we're going to do the next time we're going to speak about the third bracha, Ga'al Yisrael, and how that embellishes and develops and turns into a tefillah, the theme of the third paragraph of Shema. That will be next time. And as well, we're going to speak about the distinction that you'll see between Maariv, where in principle it's the exact same idea as what we do in Shacharis, but how come we have different text? How come we have a Hashkivenu, a fourth bracha at Maariv? The theme of Ga'al Yisrael is not represented through one bracha, Ga'al Yisrael, it's represented through two brachos, and why the nature of the Ge'ula at Maariv is different. So next time we'll first and foremost focus on the third bracha, relating to the third theme of Shema, and why Chazal said that has to be the immediate juxtaposition to the Amidah. And then we'll talk as well about the themes of Birkas Kriya Shema vis-a-vis Maariv. Thank you.